va.gov/pact to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 175-mile-an-hour winds make Hurricane Milton one of the strongest storms on record in the U.S. It's heading towards Florida. Landfall expected in the Tampa area late Wednesday or early Thursday. ABC meteorologist Kenton Jawicki says,
"We're looking at record-breaking storm surge with this hurricane. Tampa Bay and down to Sarasota, you're looking at 8 to 12 feet of storm surge."
A source close to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis tells ABC he has refused to take a call on the storm from Vice President Kamala Harris, believing the call is politically motivated. Today around the country, ceremonies marking 1 year since the Hamas attack on Israel. A late slump on Wall Street bringing down the Dow heading into the final moments of trading. It was down nearly 1% or more than 400 points. And two-time Grammy Award-winning singer Cissy Houston, the mother of the late superstar Whitney Houston, died today in New Jersey at 90. This is ABC News. Nissan is recalling one of its most popular electric vehicles.
Nearly 24,000 Leaf EVs are being recalled. Nissan says using a Level 3 fast charger on the car could cause the battery to overheat and catch fire. Nissan says it hasn't found an exact cause, but that it may have something to do with the buildup of lithium in the battery cells. The company is instead urging drivers to charge at slower rates. It affects Leaf EVs built between August 2018 and November 2020, and Nissan says it's working on a software update. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
An Atlanta businessman's been convicted for his role in defrauding former NBA star Dwight Howard out of $7 million. Calvin Darden Jr. deceived Howard into sending him money purportedly used to buy the WNBA's Atlanta Dream. And Merriam-Webster.com's added 200 new words and phrases to its database, including spotted lanternfly, MAGA, and far left. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Meet Brian. He just got $5,000, and it was pretty easy. I'll tell you how in 10 seconds. Brian needed cash help. After being rejected by banks, he tried 27cash.com. Told them how much he needed, even let them know he had bad credit. In minutes, 27cash.com found a lender who deposited $5,000 into his bank account the very next day. If you need cash help, even if you have bad credit, go to 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Again, sent bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard his ear said, "Maraca, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent Maraca smell amazing." Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain scent beads. Try Gain scent beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Another warning about migrants from former President Donald Trump. He told supporters at the Dodge County Airport Sunday they're the biggest threat to America.
I know they do all these polls, and the polls say it's the economy, and the polls say very strongly it's inflation, and I can understand it a little bit. To me, it's the horrible people that we're allowing into our country that are destroying our country.
Trump was joined on stage in Juneau by Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson during his fourth campaign event in the state in a little over a week. The former president spoke for nearly 2 hours. A man is in custody after an hours-long standoff Saturday in Waukesha. Police say a caller told them the man threatened to kill and choke her. The victim escaped the residence, but the 62-year-old man followed her and attempted to run her over with his vehicle. By the time police arrived at the home, the suspect, who the victim said had access to a weapon, barricaded himself inside the home. After de-escalation efforts went nowhere, officers deployed tear gas into the home. A canine was then sent into the home to apprehend the man. The victim of the domestic incident and two police officers suffered minor injuries. The East Coast longshoremen strike has ended for now, but the underlying issue of how technology will impact those jobs remains largely unresolved. UW-Madison professor Michael Childers says it's similar to what auto workers have already gone through.
And that's sort of what we're talking about here in the ability for the docs to invest in a very capital-intensive technologies to run the cranes, for example, or to process and move around the containers once they're on the ground.
The union representing dock workers agreed late last week to extend its existing contract with port operators through January 15th. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny today with high temperatures flirting with 70 degrees. With these dry conditions and breezy winds, we're still in a high fire danger. Avoid burning and don't toss cigarette butts. As we stay clear tonight, we crash crisp to the upper 30s. As the sunshine stays abundant all week long, we'll hit 70s on Tuesday. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thank you for joining us and making us part of your day today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's AOA powered by Cenex. With planting season in full swing, you can count on Cenex stores, high-quality lubricants to keep your operation moving. Minimize your downtime and manage your risk on your operation with Cenex. Visit your nearest Cenex store and trust your local experts there, or go to Cenex.com for more information. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk markets in a moment with Dara Newsom for Bar Chart in segment two. DTN meteorologist John Baranek will be with us. Got to catch up on the dry weather across much of the U.S. How long will this continue? I've seen pictures of wildfires, field fires, and more as harvest rolls along. We're going to talk about that. And then also the potential impacts of another hurricane on Florida here this week. Hurricane Milton taking dead aim at Florida. We're going to talk about that, I'm sure, and more in segment two. In segment three, we're going to have a conversation about food waste, specifically in the dairy industry. Florian Sanchez from Novonesis will join us for that conversation, and we'll take a look at news headlines to close out the show today in segment four. Well, let's kick things off and take a look at the market picture right now. Joining us, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, thanks for being with us. How are you, sir?
Yeah, doing well, Jesse. Another Monday morning. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You sent me the Bar Chart Futures market heat map here this morning, and I want to start with that and look at maybe some of the fund positioning and things like that in the grains. It looked like funds maybe reeled in some of their positions once again last week. But talk about that and what you're seeing on that market heat map here to kick off the week.
Yeah, it was interesting. Most sectors were in the red overnight through early Monday morning. So, you know, it's an interesting combination, particularly if we look at the grains sector. They were red across the board. But the last couple of weeks, the last number of weeks, we've seen fund liquidation. You know, in the corn market, last Friday's CFTC commitments to trader support. Again, it's important to emphasize it's legacy futures only. That's the one we need to keep an eye on. Just looking at the futures contracts. And they had trimmed their net short to 7,200 contracts. This was about as small as it's been in years. And it was a reduction of the net short by 57,000 contracts, raising the question, will funds go long corn? In soybeans, they had trimmed to about 73,000, almost 74,000 contracts, only a reduction of about 20,000 contracts. So, you know, the pattern has been, you know, in the major grain markets to continue to see liquidation, or excuse me, covering of some of the net short. But the issue here is that they're not establishing, funds are not establishing new longs. They're just getting out of everything and moving to the sidelines. They're taking that money and moving it into other sectors. Say the energy sector, which has been exploding here lately, the soft sector, which is being driven in large part by global weather, which is something that will be interesting to listen to you and John talk about here in a moment. You know, not only what's going on here in the U.S., where it's hot and dry and, you know, hurricanes continuously and this sort of thing, but what's going on in Brazil? Because that is what's going to set the tone in the soybean market and possibly corn here over the coming weeks.
That's a good point, and I'll be curious to get the update from John as well. I've heard some folks talking that it may not be an issue with this soybean crop that's going to get planted here with the wet season, but with the delay, it could be an issue for Safrina corn, say, or cotton in Brazil as we get into early 2025. So, Darren, that feels like something that is going to be a market storyline that may not have an immediate impact here in the markets, but it's something we could be talking about for the next several months, potentially.
Absolutely. And we can keep an eye on what the commercial side of the market is, how they're positioning themselves by looking at those May, July spreads. Those are the spreads in corn and soybeans that are going, that start to account for Brazilian production, Brazilian supplies, demand, and so on. And in the corn market, as you just pointed out, we see that May, July covering a bullish level of calculated full commercial carry. I believe it was something like 22% calculated full commercial carry at last Friday's close, with the bullish threshold at 33%. On the other hand, we actually saw some commercial selling in the May, July soybean spread last week, and it closed at 30, you know, about 33.5-34%. So just outside that bullish level. So it's going to be interesting to watch, and we can certainly track it that way, because it is going to have, it is going to change the way U.S. supply and demand, is viewed going forward, depending on the type of production we see in South America.
Thinking about some of the commercials, non-commercials as well, I wonder with the harvest activity ongoing here in the U.S. and some farmers maybe having to take some bushels to town off the combine, for instance, they don't have the storage. I mean, I have to think that some farmer selling has really been playing a role in these futures markets here the last week or so. And just with the continued dry weather ahead, have to think that's going to continue to have an impact on cash basis, et cetera, Darren.
And that's the key. You just mentioned the key is the basis. We have seen basis running a bit weaker, particularly in the corn market, weaker than its previous 5 years. And in the soybeans, it's running down near its previous 5-year lows. So we are seeing that situation. Now, in the U.S., the tendency is for producers to bring their soybean bushels to town and sell them, and then take their corn and put it in on-farm storage. So this is why, you know, we have seen a little more pressure in the soybean spreads than we have in corn. But, you know, both of them are showing, as you pointed out, both of them are showing the effects of harvest going on, continuing to roll along. And again, as you said, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be the case over the coming weeks.
You mentioned earlier, too, maybe some of that money getting out of various commodities here. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if the dollar's maybe still acting as a bit of a safe haven. You mentioned crude oil. Natural gas looked like showing a bit of a loss on Monday, things like that, gold, et cetera. Looking a little closer at some of those macros and energy markets, what's the big thing you're watching this week?
I think the big thing is probably the gold market. It's had quite a run, and you know, we are within exactly a month now of the next U.S. presidential election, and so we know there's going to be chaos events around the world because the agents of change need to make a last ditch effort to get the type of political, type of economic change that they've sought for the last number of years. So the market is anticipating that. That's why gold continues to find buying interest. But that being said, what jumped out to me about the latest CFTC report last Friday was that funds actually got out of some of their gold positions. 1 week does not a trend make, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on as they reduced their net long by 15,500 contracts. So still a sizable position. To me, it was interesting that they started to get out. And again, we'll certainly have to see how this plays out.
Very true. It just feels like one of those things where we continue to watch the global geopolitical issues as well. Of course, with October 7th being the 1 year anniversary of the terrorist attacks in Israel and that situation escalating. I know that that's all kind of playing into this broader macro picture right now.
It certainly is. You know, we can see how it's playing, what's going on in the crude oil markets. I mean, funds have been that long for years. They're continuing to add to their positions. And we also see that, the crude oil market, its forward curve is inverted. Meaning, nearby futures contracts are higher priced than deferred. And this is a bullish situation. This usually points to, a market that's going to continue to go up.
Absolutely. And folks can learn more at DarrenNewsom.com. Read his latest stories on Bar Chart as well. Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again, Jesse.
All right. Coming up next on AOA, powered by Cinex Premium Diesel. We'll talk weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek right after this.
As a veteran, I live with health impacts from my service. VA healthcare means you're in 100% control of your own medical care, your own benefits, and it only takes minutes to set up. A veteran should enroll in VA healthcare because it ensures that they get quality, high-level care for the rest of their lives. My service was then, my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
By the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, Farm Radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasters.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, extreme dirty conditions aren't new to farmers and ranchers. Combat dirt and downtime with Cinex Premium Diesel Fuel. It includes a range of benefits to meet the demands of equipment, even in the toughest conditions. Protect your equipment and achieve better performance with Cinex. Visit your nearest Cinex store or go to cenex.com for more information. As we continue here today on AOA, let's get caught up on the weather. On one end of the spectrum, very dry across much of the Corn Belt and the plains, with some wildfires being reported and more. And then you have another hurricane developing in the Gulf of Mexico. A lot of things to take a look at. Joining us for a conversation, DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us here today. John, hope you had a good weekend, and it sounds like another busy week for you on the weather front here to some degree, John.
Yeah, I think we're all going to be busy. You know, if it wasn't for South America and the tropics, I'd probably be pretty bored. But, you know, this is actually really good weather for a lot of us to get out and do some field work. Really dry conditions, very warm for the most part, and it's really not changing a whole lot here over the next couple of weeks, really. But we do have, you know, some little wrinkles into that, Jesse. We've got a couple of fronts that'll be moving through every so often, and we have to be worried a little bit this time of year with it being fall, and every time a front comes through, it ends up being windy. And, you know, with how dry it is and how warm it's been, things have really dried out. And that leads to the wildfire risk that you kind of mentioned here earlier. And so we'll be watching some of these fronts move through and kicking up some stronger winds and potentially increasing that wildfire risk here. But overall, not a whole lot of precipitation with these fronts. Most of them go through Canada. The system part of it, the low pressure system, goes through Canada with some rain. And then, you know, we might eke out a little bit of showers here and there from them. But overall, there's not a whole lot of rain in the forecast anywhere really in the Corn Belt. So it's good news for getting out there and doing some work. Not so great if you've got winter wheat or other cover crops you're trying to get up here for the winter, or you're at risk of some of those wildfires there as well. So kind of two sides of a coin there, always talking about that this time of year. But yeah, good weather for some and not so much for others.
I want to lean into the dryness a little bit more here. Obviously, we've seen some wildfires develop. I know reports from the Western Dakotas, North Dakota in particular. I've seen some of that. And I've also seen a lot of pictures on social media, for instance, of rural fire departments across the Corn Belt, answering calls for field fires, combine fires, unfortunately, just a lot of those issues I've noticed here with this dry weather. So that's one thing in the here and now. But as we're looking farther out this winter into, you know, next spring, I know that drought monitor is increasing quite a bit. And I'm just thinking, things stay in this dry pattern like you're mentioning, how's that going to affect late fall field work and soil moisture heading into winter, things like that, John?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's great to get your crop out in an orderly manner with a dry forecaster for the fall. But we need to build some of that soil moisture back in before, you know, for some of us, the ground's going to freeze and we don't have the ability to do that over the winter, especially up here in the Dakotas and Minnesota where I'm at. So we would really love to see some rain, actually, even though it's been real nice to get out and for farmers to get out and do some harvesting, wildfires aside. But I mean, in some of these areas, I mean, in my house, I've had, you know, a tenth of an inch of rain over the last 2 months. So it's some areas haven't had a drop in over a month. It's been really dry in a lot of areas, and it's not great. You mentioned the drought monitor really increasing here, and it's only going to get worse. I mean, we had some really large improvements over the southeast, over portions of the southeastern Corn Belt due to Helene last week. But outside of that, I mean, dryness has really persisted across most of the country. It doesn't really matter where you are, honestly. It's been very, very dry the last month and a half. And, it really doesn't look better. If you want to get some soil moisture into the ground, I don't have a whole lot of good news for you. The only thing there would be for those in the southeast still watching the tropics. Otherwise, the pattern setting up where we have this kind of ridge setting up over the Rockies, and that really shields a lot of the big storms from moving in. We still get fronts to move through, and we still get rain from time to time, but it's always, you know, few and farther between with that. So it's not a great setup here going into the late fall for really getting any decent soil moisture back into many areas at all, really. I guess the only area that would benefit, it hasn't yet, but it would be the Pacific Northwest. And that might help with some of the wildfires out there as well. But it's not great if you want to have the rain.
John, let's move our attention to the Gulf of Mexico as well, as it appears Hurricane Milton strengthening here and taking a dead aim at Florida here later this week. What's the latest you're seeing with Milton and some of the potential impacts we could see from that?
Yeah, and it felt like it came out of nowhere, too. I mean, it just started, developing over the weekend, and pow, it's a Category 4 here this morning. It went from a Category 2 to a Category 4 in the span of 4 hours this morning. So it rapidly intensified there. It's going to brush the Yucatan Peninsula there in the southern Gulf of Mexico and then go northeast toward Florida. The forecasters are expecting it to weaken a little bit, actually, as it heads toward the Florida coastline sometime probably Wednesday evening. And the actual cone of uncertainty is actually pretty large right now for a storm that's, about 24 hours away from landfall, or I'm sorry, 48 hours away from landfall. But it should be a pretty strong hurricane moving through the state. It does move right across the peninsula and into the Atlantic again, kind of out towards Bermuda. So it doesn't impact the rest of us. But that, like I said, that cone of uncertainty is pretty large. If it does end up on the northern edge of that, it could bring some more heavy rain into southern Georgia and coastal South Carolina. And those areas got hit pretty hard from Helene 2 weeks ago. So that would be, not a great thing if that happened out there as well. But the tropics continue to be alive here. And, every time we get one of these systems, it seems like they are rapidly intensifying into major hurricanes. So it's something we're going to have to continue to keep a really sharp eye on, because that could really mess things up for some folks down there.
DTM meteorologist John Peranek with us here today on AOA. John, as we close out the segment, let's talk South American weather. And it sounds like some better rain in the forecast here for Brazil. I guess the question is, how much could be on the way here? Are we going to really kick off the wet season showers or not? What's the latest you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, we're already into the wet season. There's been some spotty here and there showers, but it's been nothing like they normally see. Typically that usually ramps up here in October anyway. But they had such a dry September and going all the way back to the start of their dry season last April that they really needed the rain to start on time, and it really hasn't. So they're about 2 weeks behind in terms of really getting the start to that wet season rainfall to move in. It does look like it will come in here this week. There is a system that's moving into northern Argentina. It will be pressing all the way north into central Brazil by about Thursday. And it does look like that's going to be the real start for those wet season showers. The week or so after that, they've got a solid 2 to 3 inches of rainfall over a lot of that area in there. So that does look like that's really going to start things up. Now, they are going to be planted late. I mean, the reports out of Mato Grosso there in central Brazil is that they've barely planted anything at the moment. They should be about 10-15% planted already, and they've hardly done anything. So they're significantly behind. And I'm sure that producers there are really going to be planting here this week and next week to try and catch up. If they can't, that really pushes back that Safrinha corn planting, and that's where the concern will be. Not so much for the soybeans that are planted late, but that Safrinha corn that would be planted late, because it exposes it more to the dry season later in 2025. So that's the biggest concern going forward. But it does look like the rain is coming to central Brazil. Argentina needs some rain too, especially southwestern Argentina. It's a pretty fertile area down there, and it's missing out on this storm. It may get some streaky showers moving through this weekend and next week, but they're going to need a lot more rain down there in Argentina too. So things are changing down there in South America for the better for them, but it's still not great, especially in Argentina, where they really need the rainfall to come.
Well, you can stay up to date with the latest weather details and more online, dtnpf.com. With that, DTN meteorologist John Peranek, always good to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for joining us on AOA today. Have a great week.
Thanks, Jesse. You too.
John Baranek, DTN meteorologist, joining us here for a look at the weather this week on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex premium greases help fleets achieve superior strength and performance. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to cenex.com for more information. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation about food waste and specifically food waste in the dairy sector. We'll talk with Florian Sanchez from Novonesis. That conversation next on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Hi, this is Leanne Womack. I fell in love with country music as a child listening to my dad spin records at a radio station. I always dreamed of hearing my own songs on the radio. I set a goal and achieved it. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. Never let anyone tell you it's impossible. So if you have the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
The United Soybean Board, your soy checkoff, is on a mission to deliver sustainable soy solutions to every life, every day, from food products to renewable fuels, tires, and beyond. For the next several weeks, tune into AOA on Thursday mornings for the Sustainable Soy Update series. We'll visit with farmers and industry experts to discuss soy checkoff investments focused on the sustainable production of U.S. soy and how this builds markets and profit opportunities for farmers. For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more. Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk down 35 to 2104, December down 44 to 2042, January down 20 to 2002, February down 21 to 1960. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets were mostly higher on the day as the contracts are still trading off of the strength in the cash markets from last week, but they will still need to have fundamental reassurance that the move higher was justified. Now, boxed beef prices were higher today, but a few of the feeder cattle contracts did close a little bit lower on some profit taking. Again, they're going to want to watch that fundamental demand later this week. Meanwhile, in the hog markets, they were mostly higher. Strength in the pork cutout values early this week, helping to note some potentially stronger demand, that helping most of the hog contracts, with the exception of the nearby month. October live cattle up 47 cents to 187.47. October feeder cattle down 77 cents to 248.85. October hogs down 5 cents to 83.97. Chicago Board of Trade wheat markets higher due to dry weather delaying some of the winter wheat planting and emergence. Also, some strength in Mativ wheat prices supported wheat. The strength in wheat helped corn. Soybeans, though, were lower due to rain in South America. December corn up 1.25 to 426. November beans down 3.75.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Forming America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Head to your nearest Cenex location and talk to your local experts there about the products they have, or go to Cenex.com for more. Well, right now, we're having a conversation about food waste, and specifically food waste as it relates to the dairy industry and some of the solutions that the team at Novonesis has for this issue. Joining us now from Novonesis, Florian Sanchez is with us. And Florian, thank you for being here. Let's dive into this topic a little bit. I think maybe just to set it up, I think about food waste in general. So maybe your thoughts surrounding food waste in general and then how it pertains to the dairy industry.
Yeah, that's a good question, Jesse. I think the food waste is, first of all, a major global issue, right? So it's a massive problem with about, let's say, one third of the food being produced that is going to waste, right? And I mean, there are some statistics that state that that could be costing the world over $1 trillion annually. So it's really a massive amount of food that is wasted, right? And for dairy products, like cheese and yogurt, those are particularly vulnerable, right? Because today they are fresh products, right? And there are estimates that say that around 17% of dairy is going is being wasted, right? So, and that is mostly due to shelf life related issue. So these wastes are really problematic, and especially because it's a loss of valuable nutrients and also of the resource that were used to produce them. And next to that, there is also the role dimension around waste management, right, which has a significant impact as it also contributes to greenhouse emission and the likes, right? So tackling dairy waste is therefore very essential for reducing both emission or conserving the resources, and also creating economic saving across the entire value chain. So it's both a significant challenge, but it's also an opportunity as well for the players across the industry.
Well, I think about in terms of the work that Novonesis is doing, let's dive into that a little bit. Thinking about different biosolutions, et cetera, that can maybe help with food waste on the dairy side. I mean, talk about this and just some of the work that you guys are doing as a company globally to try and help minimize some of that food waste issue on the dairy side.
Sure. So, first of all, I'll say a quick word about Novonesis for the one in your audience that may not know us, right? So, we are a Danish-based company, even though we are really present across the world with production sites and facilities in all continents. We focus on one thing, which we call bio solutions, right? So, they are we use microbes, bacteria, and enzymes, so which are really tiny agents of change to power a solution and use those to improve food production and sustainability. So this solution, they can really help address some of the global challenges. They can help transforming the production, the way we consume, and all in all, also all we all are living on the planet, right? So they are really contributing to healthier life and on a healthier planet. And if you take agriculture, for instance, in this space, we offer plant biosolutions, which can support crop growth. They also help with nutrient absorptions. And if you look at other industries, such as dairy, which is the space I'm particularly focused on, there we do have biosolutions that help ferment products, like cheese and yogurt specifically, and therefore enhancing the taste, the texture, and the production efficiency, as well as the shelf life of the product. So when we talk food waste specifically, so their biosolution can also help. So they are one of the way to really prolong the shelf life of the food, and therefore minimizing waste. And basically fermentation, which is really a key and an edgehold preservation method, right, used into the production of many different food type, is a key here, right? So It's a process that uses lactic acid bacteria to basically ferment milk and decrease the pH of the product. In that way, that creates an environment where, let's say, the non-wanted bacteria won't thrive, but it also helps with building that texture and that taste that we all like it in the dairy product. And so one of the ways to do that is what we call a biosolution for bioprotection. So, and it's an area where we have done a lot of research, and we have really interesting products to offer to the dairy industry.
Well, Florian, thinking about some of the different biosolutions that Novonesis has and some of the science behind how some of this technology works, can you kind of expand on some of that for our listeners, just to frame this up a little bit better for them on how some of your guys' products work and the science behind it?
Sure. So indeed, the work around, you know, selecting the best food culture for the purpose of, you know, pushing the preservation of fermented dairy to next level has been something we've been really busy with in the past decade. And those bioprotective cultures, they are really helpful to prevent the spoilage by inhibiting the organism like, you know, yeast and mold to grow. And a few years ago, Novonesis actually made a breakthrough discovery, as we were the first one to discover that these beneficial bacteria, they really excel at absorbing scarce micronutrients that can be found in the milk, such as especially manganese. And that was a key micronutrient, because actually that's one that those spoilage organisms needed to grow. So by depriving them of these nutrient, right, the spoilage gets significantly slowed down, and that's helping to extend the freshness of those dairy product and reduce waste. Using that discovery, it's been really critical and crucial for us, right? Because it has helped us develop even more efficient bioprotective culture and contributing to a future with less food waste. So that's something very important, and we keep, you know, investing in researching and understanding that field better, and we are definitely committed to continue growing with the dairy industry to drive this change and continue to help addressing the food waste challenge.
Florian, I would ask as well, I wonder about this. I think at times I've seen that the food waste conversation, particularly when it relates to livestock, dairy, et cetera, sometimes maybe gets lumped in with the food production side as we think about the issues surrounding, you know, folks talking a lot about rising greenhouse gas emissions pertaining to livestock, dairy, et cetera. Is that necessarily accurate, though, to kind of lump food waste with, you know, food production and some of those issues as well? Because I know that's, you know, part of at the heart of some of the products you guys are working on, good gut health, et cetera, for animals. I mean, can we lump all that together? Is that really the right way to go about that conversation? Can you expand on that for us a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. There are, of course, different ways to look at it, and ways that contribute to that at every different steps in the value chain. So, of course, there is an element of, you know, having the best efficiency and use of the resources at the beginning of the value chain, making sure that there is the most efficient use of the resource, that animals are also living healthy, right? Because healthy cows and happy cows, we also make very good quality milk to be used by the industry. So that is critical. But of course, there are also, in other part of the value chain, other streams of material that get wasted, right? So I think every player in the industry has a way to contribute somehow.
Florian, great thoughts here as we kind of wrap up our conversation around this topic, thinking about food waste in the dairy industry and more, and the work that Novonesis is doing What final thoughts would you share with producers as they're thinking about this issue, or maybe it's something that they haven't thought about, they need to really think about more? I mean, what would you leave folks with here today? What would you reiterate to them in terms of the food waste and dairy conversation?
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to highlight is especially on that aspect of using, you know, fermentation to extend the shelf life of fermented dairy product, right? That's one of the area where Novonesis has been really active in past years. And there we've been able to select, you know, food culture that really on purpose are really pushing the preservation to the to next level, right? So we see that manufacturers are increasingly adopting this bioprotective culture to help reduce food waste as they extend the shelf life, and they also optimize their production that way. And I think it's when we think of about how they work, it's been an area where we also looked at that very very deeply, because the bioprotective culture, they are really they prevent the spoilage by inhibiting the microorganism like yeast and mold. And a few years ago, Novonesis has really made a breakthrough discovery where we've been able to document and understand better the mode of action of those microorganisms. So, and I think that's something really, really key.
Florian Sanchez with Novonesis, really appreciate the time and the conversation here today on the show. And we thank you, and we'll look forward to talking again in the future.
Thank you, Jesse. Likewise, have a good day.
All right, AOA today, powered by Sedex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. We'll take a look at Ag News headlines right after this.
U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde suggested most nursing home residents shouldn't be allowed to vote because of their life expectancy.
Listen to Eric Hovde.
Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Even though I'm old, I'm doing just fine, Eric Hovde.
Son, I've served this country. I think I can handle a ballot.
Listen to Eric Hovde again.
Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
What's he talking about?
Didn't he learn to respect his elders?
Eric Hovde hasn't just insulted older Wisconsinites. He's also proposed cutting Social Security, Medicare, and nursing home care, even veterans' benefits.
He's crazy.
He's a jerk.
Eric Hovde, what's wrong with this guy?
I'm Tammy Baldwin, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE, 844-53-BIBLE.
Seeing the VA home loan guarantee without having to put down a down payment, I was able to graduate from college using the post 9/11 GI Bill debt-free. I was able to enroll in VA healthcare, and I know that VA is going to be there for me when I need it. My service was then, and my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
On the October episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discussed supply chain challenges affecting U.S. agriculture in the middle of harvest season. Everything from rail issues with Mexico to low water levels in the Mississippi River and the port strike on the East Coast and Gulf Coast ports. NCGA lead economist Krista Swanson joined us to discuss.
If this is left unresolved, it could lead to price increases for consumers and reduced availability of some goods. I saw that JP Morgan estimated the strike would cost the U.S. economy between 3.5 $9.8 and $4.5 billion per day. American Farm Bureau actually put out a really great analysis digging into this, and I just want to pull some of their numbers. They estimated that there's $1.4 billion in containerized ag goods that pass through these ports that we're talking about each week. They estimated that that would be 318 million weekly in containerized ag exports that could be impacted.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the monthly grind on AOA and learn more at ncga.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to AOA here today, powered by Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex premium greases help you achieve superior strength and performance with your equipment on the farm and ranch. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, farmers who have been waiting for oversubscribed conservation programs should revisit their local Natural Resources Conservation Service office to make sure their application remains front and center. USDA last week announcing the department would spend a record $7.7 billion in fiscal 2025 to help agricultural and forestry producers adopt conservation practices on working lands. The $7.7 billion includes $5.7 billion from the Inflation Reduction Act, and another $2 billion will come from traditional farm bill funding. USDA stated, quote, "This is more than double the amount available last year and the most conservation assistance made available in a single year in U.S. history for popular USDA conservation programs," end quote. Now, NRCS last year received more than 156,485 applications for conservation programs. Farmers and other landowners can now apply for fiscal year 2025 funds at their local USDA service center. Now, the $5.7 billion in IRA funds includes $2.8 billion for the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, known as EQIP, $943 million for the Conservation Stewardship Program, known as CSP, up to $1.4 billion for the Regional Conservation Partnership Program, known as RCPP, and $472 million for the Agricultural Conservation Easement Program, known as ACEP. Now, the IRA funds come with a caveat that landowners will need to show that practices reduce greenhouse gas emissions or sequester carbon in the soil. In a webinar Friday, Robert Bonney, USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, said a lot of farming practices producers have been doing a long time to improve their soil or nutrient management and grazing practices also meet the climate smart goals USDA is working to support. Bonney said, quote, "We just haven't always called them climate smart. So there are a lot of opportunities for participation across the country, end quote. Now, not every practice will meet the climate smart mitigation goals, but there is still the regular funding pot out of the Farm Bill to help those producers, according to USDA. NRCS Chief Terry Cosby said the agency has beefed up staff over the past year to implement the programs, as well as expanded with private companies and groups to help producers sign up for NRCS programs. The agency also has streamlined applications for some programs, such as ACEP and the RCPP. Cosby said, quote, "If you've never worked with our NRCS, now is a good time to get involved. We see many first-time NRCS customers get assistance with conservation in recent years." Now, the IRA carved out $19.5 billion specifically for USDA conservation programs with a focus on reducing emissions or sequestering carbon. USDA maintains a list of climate mitigation activities that would qualify for the IRA dollars. You can learn more at nrcs.usda.gov. So again, USDA rolling out a record $7.7 billion on climate smart and conservation programs. Well, also the Eastern Gulf Coast dock worker strike, which has now been suspended until mid-January, a tentative agreement reached, and they're going to be working out the details, we presume, here over the next couple of months. But that dock worker strike is yet another reason producers need a new farm bill. American Farm Bureau economist Danny Munch said even before ILA members agreed to a partial deal on wages, a port backlog would take time to clear.
A 2 to 3 day strike would take over a week to clear. We are worried that even if they go back to work, you know, are they going to work hard as well? So that's something that we're looking at in the longer term as well.
Now, even with that 3 day dock worker strike, there's already been a few impacts to the supply chain. And one of the key reasons the White House pressed both sides to suspend the strike is the hurricane ravaged Southeast. Another impact of backlogged farm exports on an already collapsing bottom line for producers, still without a new farm bill, is another issue that AFB's Munch is watching.
It's another pressure and another disruption that our farmers are going to have to deal with without a good safety net in place. There's already carriers that have announced surcharges on containers to start in mid-October. Now, to export ag products, they could be facing a $3,000 per container surcharge, and that's not something that foreign markets are going to want to purchase.
36 affected ports handle tens of millions a week worth of produce, poultry, dairy, soybeans, meat, corn, ethanol, and farm machinery. The suspended port strike and the August Canadian rail strike plus Hurricane Helene were just the latest examples of why U.S. farmers need the protection of a modernized farm bill. While the legislation that would set food and farm policy for the next 5 years is in limbo, waiting for lawmakers to decide its fate after the election. The latest deadline for the farm bill passed unceremoniously at midnight on September 30th without a push from lawmakers to pass a new bill or an extension. Congress will have to scramble in the lame duck session set to begin November 12th to come up with some agreement before benefits run out at the end of the year, which, if allowed to happen, eventually would have major consequences. The law began 90 years ago with various payments to support farmers, but now has an impact far beyond the farm, with programs to create wildlife habitat, address climate change, and provide the nation's largest federal nutrition program. The delay creates further uncertainty for farmers who are facing declining prices for many crops and rising costs for fertilizer and other inputs. And finally, here today on AOA, at a victory for the U.S. pork industry, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, based in San Francisco, rejected a lawsuit from several activist groups who sought to oppose sweeping changes to the Environmental Protection Agency's concentrated animal feeding operation rules, known as CAFO rules. Last month, NPPC participated in oral arguments before the Ninth Circuit, successfully urging the court to reject the lawsuit. At that hearing, the Ninth Circuit expressed frustration and concerns with Food and Water Watch's approach and candor in its decision. The court made clear that EPA's preferred approach to regulating livestock production to study water quality issues is the appropriate path for EPA and does not warrant throwing out decades of established law. NPPC stated that the lawsuit sought to use the court to upend livestock production across the country by attacking core notions of due process and fundamental civil rights. Animal rights activists sought to put pork producers around the country out of business. That's a look at Ag News headlines here today on AOA. And with that, we are out of time on our program. Brought to you by Cenex. Keep your operation moving with Cenex Premium Diesel. Mitigate risk on the farm with that premium diesel. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more information.
Coming up tomorrow, we'll take a look at the ag economy with John Newton, the new head of Terrain, and we'll look at markets with Kent Beadle from Paradigm Futures. For now, though, we're out of time here on the show. Thanks for listening to AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Deeply indebted to them, and I'm sure they'll be friends and acquaintances for life.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
A dog? I'm not. I was born for a purpose, to bring you hope, to guide you out of darkness, to stand by you as you rediscover life.
Can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription